Welcome to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Carla, and today's topic is more joy and less stress. We are with Susan Smith-Jones again, who is a wonderful consultant. She's been faculty at UCLA and taught students and staff how to be healthy and fit for 30 years. But Susan also travels internationally as a frequent radio and TV talk show guest and motivational speaker, and she's the author of more than 30 books. And you can go to her site, SusanSmithJones.com, in order to be able to get more information about her books and many of the topics that she explores with her guests. So at this point, I'd like to welcome you, Susan, to our show. Thanks for joining us.
Dr. Carla, so happy to be with you again.
Yeah, this is a really important topic. Actually, I did a retreat on stress, and I think that we can never address stress and what it does to our bodies too much. So first, as we get started, why don't you tell us what stress is and why stress reduction is so important for us?
Yeah, definitely. Well, for all of you listening, if you feel like the demands of your daily life exceed your ability to meet them, you're definitely not alone. Most people I meet, not only in America, but over in the UK and worldwide, feel the same way. And stress to you might be different than stress for me. And it's not so much the situations that happen or the times in which we live, but it's what you think about them. And so, for example, some people might be stressed out with weather-related environmental things like floods and fires, earthquakes, hurricanes. Some may be bumper-to-bumper traffic or unpaid bills, some constant noise. But too much chronic stress without dealing with it wreaks havoc on every organ, every system, every cell in the body, and it will accelerate aging. And, you know, it can be triggered by emotions like fear, worry, grief, depression, even guilt. And if you don't deal with it, it can lead to things like high blood pressure, heart problems, for sure weight gain, suppressed immunity, bone loss, sleep debt, joint pain, fatigue, headaches, and even so much more. So it's important to find ways in your life that you can manage your stress level.
You know, two points you just made, and what I find so interesting is, you know, there's positive and negative stressors, but what's interesting is the people's perception of the stressor and how much it'll impact them. And I think that's really important, you know, for people to be able to understand. And I know there's different scoring on, you know, where you're at on the stress scale, that people can actually do to see how stressed they are. And the other thing is there's, tests that people can take on what stressors have impacted their life, such as have you made a recent move, a change in job, and all of the other things you mentioned. We've had so many natural disasters, I think in California alone, that the people are displaced. They don't have homes to go back to with the fires and various things. So, you know, why don't you take us and go through your 12 surefire stress busters so that people can have healthier and more joy-filled lives?
Yeah, so let's start with, and there are, we'll start with number one, obviously, but there's so many things that you can do in your daily life to keep the stress level down. And one for me is just set the tone for the day. It's amazing how every morning, and we've talked about this before, the first 40 minutes of the day sets the tone for the day. So how do you want your day to be? You want to be happy and joyful and not hurried and feeling totally stressed out. So maybe you do some things the night before so you can have a peaceful, relaxing, healthy morning. Maybe you set the breakfast table, get your exercise or work clothes out, make the kids' lunches. There's something you can do so that you're not so rushed in the morning. And those first 40 minutes are very important to make sure it's peaceful, relaxed, happy, healthy, and then the rest of your day will follow.
And you can begin, you've often talked about this, getting up and just taking a little time to be able to pray and just unite your day, you know, to God. And just that 5 minutes can make a huge difference, I think.
You're so right. And deep breathing can make such a difference. I always begin my day with reading something in the Bible. I always do that. And I meditate a little bit. We'll talk about that later. And two is get moving, exercise. And I am a morning person, but I also like to get the exercise out of the way in the morning because I have no more excuses to get in the way. And let me make a couple comments about exercise. You and I have talked many times about aerobic activity. Most people know what that is. And strength training, you also need that to build a little more muscle, which helps you burn up calories at a faster rate. But we haven't talked a lot about stretching. And it's important to make time to stretch every day because a flexible body greatly reduces the chance of injury because tight muscles that restrict the natural range of motion in the joints are susceptible to pulls and tears and stress injuries.
And just being stronger overall, right? Because absolutely. You can catch yourself when you're falling, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And let's also mention another good reason to stretch is to help lower back pain. Because if you have tight hip flexors, those are those muscles in the top part of your thigh that connect to your lower torso. If those are tight, then the hamstrings, the back part of the thigh, and the back muscles can rotate the pelvis forward. I see this in so many people, resulting in that excessive curvature of the lower back and chronic lower back pain and sciatica. So you want to find a few minutes to stretch every day. Instead of sitting in an easy chair or the couch at night, if you do that, or lying in bed to watch TV, that's a great time to stretch.
You know, I just had a friend that had a tear with her, I think it was her gluteus medius muscle, and in the
hips.
That's
the buttocks area.
Right, in the buttocks area.
Uh-huh.
And horribly painful, very, very hard, mm-hmm. to manage. The pain's pretty excruciating with that. And I'm just thinking with stretching, that would probably help to improve to be able to not have that happen. Have you seen
exactly
that?
Exactly right. Like prevention is so important here.
Mm-hmm.
And your body does not have to go downhill as you age. I always like to say to people, the only time I want my body to go downhill is after I hike uphill.
Yeah, or yeah. I was going to say if you're skiing.
Yeah, I know. And exactly. And I love this quote because it's so true. A few words here by Henry David Thoreau, who said, an early morning walk is a blessing for the entire day. Exercise improves the brain's oxygen supply and releases tension from the muscles. It helps to lower the cortisol level. And you can't be vibrantly healthy if you just choose to live a sedentary life.
I think, you know, it too, it just clears the head. So, you know, as you're making decisions throughout your day, I think they're probably going to be clearer and more thoughtful decisions, don't you think, Susan?
Yes, and it makes you happier, and it's one of the best ways to reduce stress. So make it a non-negotiable daily habit in your life, some way to work out.
And I think, too, you had mentioned this, but I want to stress this, that people who are feeling slightly blue, a little bit depressed, and that exercise is a first line of treatment, can help to lift, like you say, the spirits, but it can actually impact upon an individual who's feeling some slight depression.
Always, always. I've told you this ages ago, but I do private counseling, and when someone wants to see me for depression, I don't meet in my office. We meet down at the Bluff in Santa Monica, and the first 5 minutes, I say hello, I greet them, I hug them. But I say, we're going to walk for a little bit, and there'll be no talking for 5 minutes. And I always know that after 5 minutes of walking and being in nature and looking at the view, they're going to be have a much more positive attitude when they talk to me.
I couldn't agree more. I think that we need to emphasize that even more because we are pretty sedentary as far as the, you know, the 9-to-5 work schedules where people are sitting at their desks and not getting that exercise. And it is, I think, critical. And for children, too, because we're seeing depression in younger people as well. And they need to be getting outdoors and getting exercise.
Yes, exactly.
So what else can we do to help boost our joy and live healthier lives? Susan, you always have great insights on this.
All right. So one is eat a stress-relieving diet. So really, can what you eat help relieve stress? And you bet it can. Every time you eat something with white sugar and white flour and colorings and additives, and if you overeat, it puts so much stress on your body. And if you want to keep your digestive system humming along as it was designed to do, you want to eat more higher water content foods. Those are your fresh vegetables and your fruits. And it's a pretty safe bet to say if you eat lots of plant-based foods, your body's going to be healthier. And don't forget not to overeat. That does also wreak havoc on the body. And you don't want to eat much after nightfall, within 2 to 3 hours before sleep. It's better to graze on smaller meals more frequently throughout the day, every 3 to 4 hours or so.
Okay.
That stokes metabolism, stabilizes blood sugar, helps to reduce cholesterol, and also helps to prevent overeating.
Well, and I think that the health benefit, you wouldn't be having those cravings. If somebody isn't eating all day and then waits until the end of the day, I'm sure that would be something that would make you want to overeat.
Oh, it would. Oh, it absolutely would.
Is that what you find with your people? Okay.
Yeah, I definitely do. Because your blood sugar level gets so low, and then you become famished, and then People say to me, Carla, I just don't know what happened. My car just turned itself into the fast food restaurant. I had no control over it. But when you go too long without eating, then you just lose all willpower and control over your body.
So that makes me think, can you tell our listeners, you know, if we've developed bad habits, you know, of doing just what you're saying, going through the fast food line at restaurants too frequently, how do they begin to break that habit? How do they begin to eat healthier?
Well, I say, and we've talked about this over the years together, make a 21-day agreement to not go to a fast food restaurant. We're not saying a year or 6 months or even a season, but most people can commit to 21 days. Ben Franklin said, whatever you do for 21 days will make or break a habit. And behavioral scientists show that if you do something for 21 days or eliminate something for 21 days, you will have easily established a new habit. You can do it for everything, like getting more sleep at night or drinking more water or eating more vegetables or not
exercising.
Having ice cream every night after dinner.
Yeah.
And after 21 days, it will become a habit that you actually look forward to or no longer crave something you gave up.
And that's only 3 weeks. I mean, 21 days is only 3 weeks. It's not even a month.
Exactly. But here's the key. If you give up a day, like day 3 or day 19 or 20, you've got to start back over again. And you're going to have that little babbler voice in your mind giving all kinds of excuses. Even though you agreed not to have ice cream for 21 days, then the next 3 days later you're in the grocery store and you go down the frozen aisle section, and your mind will say, okay, you can just have a little treat, and nobody cares about an inch or two or more extra around your waist, and you've done so well for 3 days. You need this ice cream. Just say, thank you for sharing. I'm going 21 days, and then I can reevaluate after 21 days.
And probably you don't want overburden. You know, the listeners are probably thinking, okay, I can do that, but I probably wouldn't choose that I was going to start an exercise regimen and change my, you know, way that I eat in the same 21 days, but maybe back them up and start with maybe better eating habits for 21 days and then move into maybe exercise for 21 days?
I like that you said that because you don't want to get so overwhelmed that you set yourself up to fail, because every time you don't follow through on what you say you're going to do, you lower your self-esteem. You can combine things, though. You could say 21 days, I'll exercise at least. Make it doable. So mm-hmm. that you have some positive achievement. I'll exercise for, say, at least 20 minutes. And you could combine that with drinking more water. But don't say that you'll run 10 miles a day and meditate for 2 hours and completely change your diet, because that won't work.
So our listeners, I'm sure, are thinking, okay, it's, you know, let's go ahead and let's start with something. What would you recommend to somebody who's done none of this, and as far as drinking more water, exercise, eating healthier, you know, praying, what would you pick as a first step?
Well, yes, right there. Praying is on the top of the list, always.
Praying for the grace to be able to follow through to make better choices, maybe around exercise and eating.
Exactly, and it's hard to make better choices if you don't sleep well at night. And then your brain gets a little fuzzy and negative if you don't drink enough water. So, you know, start with praying and getting enough sleep.
Can you tell our listeners how they can? Because this goes down to young people. I just, you know, see that young people aren't getting a good night's sleep either. Can you, you've told our listeners before, but could you just tell them some steps that they could take?
That they could take.
For better sleep?
Yeah. Well, first of all, like I said a few moments ago, don't eat within 2 to 3 hours before you go to sleep, because your body's working hard on digestion and it interferes with good sleep. You want to make sure you have cotton pajamas if you wear them, and cotton bed linens. You want your room to be dark and cool and quiet. Put one fresh plant in your bedroom, because it takes up carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen. Now, lavender gently soothes stress, calms tensions, and that you can use that delicate aroma, which calms your body and helps you sleep in a sachet or in a bed pillow or a little diffuser next to your bed, or a hot bath before you go to bed with lavender. I have a little bottle of lotion, so before I go to bed at night, I always put a couple squirts of it on my hands, and then I also put 3 to 4 drops of the essential oil of lavender on my pillowcase before I go to sleep.
And all of that can help people to be able to sleep better, and probably, without saying, but probably we should don't drink caffeinated drinks right before going to bed, right?
Definitely not. Oh, gosh. Probably after 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. And
earlier if you go to bed at 7.
Well, and especially with those supercharged drinks, you know, those highly caffeinated drinks, there's a lot of those. So I'm sure that probably interrupts sleep, right?
Right. That's right. And we also need to choose the best supplements. Supplements like fresh air and sunshine, and food supplements like flax seeds and chia, other nutritional supplements. You know, I love my molecular hydrogen tablets. And if you go to my website, SusanSmithJones.com, or my other website, you'll get information on all my best supplements, my favorite ones that I would never be without.
Right, and that's SusanSmithJones.com. And all your books are available there, too, which, you know, I love all of them. You've written
so many. Thank you. You might also want to check out BooksToUplift.com. And tells you a lot about my personal lifestyle, and ChristianLifestyleMatters.com.
And so there's plenty of resources. It's just about making the decision. And like we were just visiting with Susan about is, you know, pray about this. Ask God to help you and to be able to give you the motivation to be able to make some of these changes, because change is hard for anyone. I definitely see that. And I'm sure you do too when you're working with clients, right?
It is difficult, but you've got to have the right attitude. Do you remember what my grandmother used to say? Is your attitude is like your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. And your attitude going into any endeavor, whether it's a new health and fitness program, a new spiritual program, makes all the difference. I love what Viktor Frankl once said that I think is spot on. He said, everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And again, it is harder to have a more positive, optimistic, enthusiastic attitude if you don't get good sleep at night, and if your body's dehydrated, and if you're devouring diet drinks and soda pop and junk food.
And that takes me to one of your statements, be thankful and cultivate an attitude of gratitude.
Well, cultivating the habit of gratitude is this magnetic force that you create that attracts more joy, calmness, and peace right back to you. And at least 3 daily entries in a gratitude journal can help us focus on positive things even during stressful times and help to reduce and alleviate stress and bodily tension. I often say, I forget if we've talked about this before, but I say this, if all you did was just look for things during your day to appreciate for which you feel grateful, you would live a joyous, spectacular life. It could be the beautiful bed you sleep in, or the faces of your family members, or the flowers that are on your path on your way to work in the car, or the local park, or it could be anything. Find things to appreciate. Because even though this might sound weird, Carla, it literally changes. When you appreciate something, when you seek out beauty, a sunrise, a sunset, a dog, a cat, what it does is it changes the vibrational rate of the electrons in every cell of your body, and it helps to release more of those, I call them happy hormones, those endorphins. So I like to say to people, seek out beauty in your daily life and things for which to be grateful.
I can't agree with you more. And we know gratitude actually correlates with optimism. And so as people are more grateful, they tend to be more optimistic. And how wonderful is that? Because then you're always able to see, rather than the cup half empty all the time, you're able to see the cup half full.
That's right. And remember this, too. What you think about consistently brings more of the same into your life. And as my grandmother always used to say, that the path to peace and balance is each and every day live thankfully. Meister Eckhart, that philosopher, spiritual mystic, and I think it was the 12th or 13th century, said if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, God, that will be enough. And so all day long I see beautiful things, and I always say, if I'm alone out loud, or and sometimes even with people, or in my mind, I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And before I go to sleep at night, my mind goes over all the beautiful things that happened during the day, or all the beauty I saw.
And that is that's a Jesuit tradition, actually, to do an examine at the end of the day. But I like that you do an examine of gratitude, what you've been grateful for through the day.
Yes.
Because we all have things to be grateful for. And even when we're facing really hard and difficult times in our lives, there's still something to be grateful for.
Yes. And by the way, any one of the 4 blogs I posted today at SusanSmithJones.com goes into some of these things in more detail. And I'm a great believer in not only prayer, but breathing deeply and meditation. Meditation is a way to unplug from the hustle and bustle of everyday living. You know, you combine that meditation with deep breathing, and it can balance the flow of stress hormones, help to lower your heart rate and blood pressure. And you can just sit and focus on your breath. And if thoughts come in, you just let them go. And what I often do is I take the word stillness, and I inhale, and I in my mind I say still, and I exhale, and I say ness, stillness. And I might do, you know, in the Bible, peace be still and know that I am God. Sometimes I'll do peace be still, and I inhale deeply and slowly as I say peace with my eyes closed, and I exhale and I say be still. And like you said at the top of the show, even 5 minutes of doing this, if you're at a red light, your eyes can be open and you can still do this. You're in charge.
Yeah. And
you're in charge of your
Be the CEO, as you said, be the CEO and president of your body, health, and life. And with that, I've got to direct our listeners again. We're talking with Susan Smith Jones. Her website is SusanSmithJones.com. There's a wealth of information there. And once again, I thank you for joining us. And once again, we're out of time, Susan.
Thank you. It goes too quickly. See you next time.
All right. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Carlin. Here's to your health.
Here's to Your Health, a contemporary Catholic health program that brings you the latest in healthcare trends and breakthroughs. Join Dr. Carla Calumet every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Live your life for God. Here's to your health.